Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's DC Movie News.
In the Great Hall of the Justice League, there are assembled the world's four greatest heroes. Created.
Well, there's two of us.
Legends of the universe. There are.
Woo! Welcome back to DC Movie News, friends, where your girl Roxy Stryer is working on a pasta, working on a pasta.
But if I said, I thought you said you're working on your pasta. I'm like, oh, all right.
Well, I'm also working on my pasta. I've had
a Jewish
pasta
girl making pasta
five nights this week. Oh my God. I grew up Mazel Italian, top. Though. I make amazing pasta. That's Mike Kalinowski. You hear coughing.
Not with the Rona. I don't
know. The Rona?
I got some phlegm in my throat.
What's the phlegm from?
My allergies. I got terrible. Yeah, I tell you, being a guy that has terrible allergies at this time, not good.
People look at you
funny. You look like you're the Antichrist walking around.
Ooh, yeah. Don't you do that sneezing allergies. Thing near me.
Can I just say this before we get going here? Because I've kind of been quiet about it for
I guess
a while.
So. Yeah.
I'm gonna jump in here, Rox. Back when we had the writers for Harley Quinn, I didn't talk much in that episode.
That's true.
Yeah, I didn't because I had not watched the episode yet. I didn't want to talk about something I didn't, you know, wasn't versed in. I'm finally starting that show. And I know I'm late to the show and late to the party on this one, but that show is so effing funny.
It's great.
I love it. I went through five episodes last night. Yeah.
You're on season one?
Season one. Yeah, I'm still going. But right from the first 2 minutes of that show, I was like, how the heck are they getting away with this? But like, it's hysterical. I love it.
It's so funny. It's so original.
I was behind, and that's why I didn't really chime in with the guys when we had them. I felt bad. I'm like, oh, I don't want to talk about the show.
No, there's nothing to feel bad about. You smiled a lot.
You know those people, Rox, that interview people and whatnot, but you could tell they haven't watched the property, and they're just trying to make it up as they go. And I think that's so fake, so I didn't want to do that. You guys watched it, so it was good enough that we had our team doing it. But, man, I'm behind on it, and it is so much fun.
It is great. It's really great. Yeah. I'm glad you're watching. But you still haven't watched Watchmen yet.
Because I'll tell you why with Watchmen. I didn't have HBO. I'm not one of those people that, hey, I'm going to do the free week and then cancel after a week. I think that sucks. I don't like doing that for anything. So that's why I didn't do it for that. But I then saw the listing. They were going to release it on Blu-ray. And you guys know me and my physical media. I love physical media. But now I don't see it anywhere. So I don't know if the coronavirus has destroyed that idea of it happening or coming out. So they did like one episode free of it, and I caught it, one episode. It was like, hey, tease it, it's one episode you can watch for free, and I loved it. So I'm just
I might
just take someone's head out.
Yeah. Tell the people what you were gonna say. Tell them.
Then that's rude. That's wrong.
You just mumbled straight into. I'm gonna tell them. Well, something that we both watched obviously this week. So I don't even know if we formally announced this last week, but
I think we did.
One of the things that we're going to be doing in quarantine is chronologically we are going back through all of DC's movies. Yes, Mike, that means all of them. All
no
of DC movies.
No Swamp Thing.
We see you,
Roxy. You don't understand.
You're not
an IG player in the movie trivia showdown, so you've never had to watch all of these ad nauseum.
No,
I have
haven't.
Done that. I have sat through Superman 3, Superman 4, Supergirl, Swamp Thing.
And you're about to sit through them again.
They're awful, and I got to do it again. I got to sit through Jonah Hex again.
Yes, you do. You have to sit through all of them again. But luckily, the first one on our list, obviously, Superman, 1978 Superman.
The movie.
We will be talking.
I would challenge your players in an IG tournament if they only said Superman. I would challenge them and I would win.
Really?
Superman the movie. That's what it's called.
I don't think so, Mikey.
It's called Superman the movie. That's the title on IMDb. That's what it is.
Mm.
It's not Superman 4. It's Superman 4, The Quest for Peace.
Superman on IMDb's title is just Superman.
No, I disagree.
Literally just IMDb'd it. You disagree with IMDb or me?
Both.
Okay. Well,
only one of those people in that discussion, those three, has two IG belts, championship belts under his name.
Only one of what people? Me or you?
Just like Heisenberg. Know My Name. Say My Name.
It's not Know My Name. Say My Name. It's a Destiny's Child song. Remember it.
That's Heisenberg from Breaking Bad.
I know, but who did it first? Be honest, Mikey, who did it first?
Destiny's Child?
Yeah. No one is around you. So we did. We watched Superman, the movie or not. Did you look it up?
I am right now. Yeah, you're right. It does. That's weird. I don't agree with that. Let me see the poster here. Hold on. Oh, it doesn't even have the title in the movie. You, that's pretty awesome when your movie doesn't have the title on it. It just has the...
You just know what it is based on the imagery.
You can't see
it. Yeah, it is pretty awesome. Incredible.
That's a great poster.
Anyways, but I hadn't seen this movie for a really long time, so I know you'd seen it more recently than me, but I'm very excited to talk with you about it. But before we get into our discussion of the movie, which we are encouraging you guys at home to watch along with us, so we'll be announcing every week what our next one is going to be so you guys can join the conversation. Before all of that, let's talk a little bit about DC movie news.
Let's do it,
Mikey. As you guys know on the show, often we are DC movie news and often we are DC movie rumors. This kind of falls somewhere in between because it's not confirmed, but it seems to have some truth to it. Supergirl the movie, is that correct, Mikey? Supergirl the movie.
It's just called Supergirl Rocks.
Plans
there we go.
Reportedly stalled because of Superman. What do you mean there we go?
My volume was a little down. I couldn't hear too well.
Well, are you back with
us? At my age, I just wonder if it's my hearing or my mic, but it was unfortunate.
No, you do sound a little quiet to me, too.
Do I eat my gain up?
I don't really know.
How's this? That better? How's that? Better?
Our producer, Ryan Nilsson, will tell us. Ryan?
All right.
Better, but I think you can go a little higher, Mike, if you can.
On my gain still?
Can you take me
higher,
Mike?
I didn't even introduce Ryan today. Ryan's the best. Ryan, I don't know if you were able to watch Superman along with us, but
I'm going
to
tell you guys, I watched it for the first time last night.
The first time.
The first time.
No way, Ryan.
I thought I'd seen it, but it turns out I'd actually only seen Superman 2.
Because
I thought I'd seen it, and I was like, oh, I don't remember a lot of this. And
well, I cannot wait to pick your brain on that. So we will definitely be talking about that. But again, right now we are talking about a different Superman. Not Superman the movie, Superman Henry Cavill, Superman's movie. See, you've made it so confusing putting the movie after everything, Mikey.
I'm sorry.
Let's talk about this because fans obviously have been really excited about Superman and Henry Cavill's Superman, but we've been talking for a long time about Man of Steel and what's going to happen. But the next Man of Steel cinematic adventure was reportedly put on hold as Warner Brothers and DC Comics plotted a Supergirl movie. Supergirl the movie that would be separate from the CW series. Obviously that's Melissa Benoist's series.
Yes.
We've talked about whether or not they were doing a Supergirl movie for quite some time, but now it seems like those two plans have been set on the back burner at Warner Brothers because they're shifting their focus back to Superman and placing the Girl of Steel in jeopardy of having a reboot. This is a report recorded according to Heroic Hollywood that the development has been put on hold. What do you think, Mikey, about all this?
This is interesting. I find it kind of came out of left field. I woke up to, I think it was
right field. How come nobody ever says that?
What, out of left field?
You kind
of
come out
I don't
of right
know.
Field.
I'm not a sports guy, Rox. If I'm sure if I was, I could probably answer why it's not out of right field. Does it have to do with the way that you bat?
No, that makes sense, actually. Comes out of left field. Yeah, okay. I get it.
I don't know.
Sure.
I don't know. Umberto Gonzalez tweeted out an Instagram thing like, hey, big story drop in one, I think it was two mornings ago. It does seem kind of out of left field. We hadn't heard anything hell or high water about Superman. Everyone was saying he was gone. We haven't heard talk. And the chat and the talk about him was always like, hey, my cape's still in my closet. I'm still Superman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it wasn't like Affleck had stepped away and we knew that and they were just kind of tiptoeing around it for a while. I don't know. I'm the camp, and I think everyone's kind of in agreement. Everyone loves him in the role. You know, I was just on our good friend Josh Tapia, JTE, his franchise ranked podcast, because we were talking, he wanted to rank the DCU films, and I joined him for that, and we got into this big discussion about Cavill and his acting, and he gets a lot of, both of us love Zack Snyder. But Zack Snyder is what I like to think of as a visual filmmaker. He makes beautiful pictures, but I don't think he works, or his style is to work with the actors, where you have an actor that knows what they're doing. They come in, they don't need a director. You get a great performance out of them. But if you need an actor that needs to be directed, you don't get the greatest performance. And my example for that was like Natalie Portman, who I think is great. But if you watch her in Star Wars, she's awful. But Lucas is not.
I don't agree.
Oh God, please, Roxy. You think Natalie Portman's acting in the Star Wars films compared to like Black Swan or something is the same?
I'm not saying by comparison, closer, but I don't think she's ever been awful. I don't think she was awful in Star Wars. I don't think that's fair.
Have you seen Attack of the Clones? Because I know I have.
Yes. Ryan, if I'm a prequel anymore, apologist. Buddy, everybody knows.
Is that better? I'm at the top gain right now, guys.
Perfect.
It sounds to me like you're not coming out. Will you tap on your microphone for a second, Mikey? I don't think your audio is coming out of your mic. I think you're coming out of your computer.
Really?
Look at your bottom
arrow. Oh, you're right, Roxy.
It's going to get really loud. It's about to get so loud.
Let's get loud. Let's get loud.
Oh, God.
Did I sound like? Who sings that?
Okay, how's that now?
Way better.
Okay, I was coming out of the microphone. I was coming out of the speakers, Rox.
That's what I thought.
I'm going to turn the gain down. Yeah, something was weird. All right, how's that, guys? We good?
Yeah, you're perfect. You're perfect. Right, way to go, Mikey.
Back to my rant.
Yeah.
Like George Lucas, he's a visual filmmaker, didn't know what to do with Natalie Portman, but you had someone who's a consummate professional, you got someone like Ewan McGregor, who doesn't need to be directed. He comes in and he's glorious, you know? So with Snyder, I don't think and look at Gal Gadot, perfect. A lot of people said she was stilted in BVS. Get Patty Jenkins, a director that knew how to work with her as an actress. She's glorious. So I think Cavill, with a director that knows how to work with him, can be the Superman that we all want him to be. That's my 2 cents on that. It's more like a $1.50 I just gave you there, but hey.
What do you think about Supergirl, though?
I don't really care about Supergirl, to be honest with you. But let's be blunt. I don't care. Like, we've got a great TV show with the great Supergirl on it. I don't think you do Supergirl without, like, we haven't gotten the Superman movie that we all want, and then to throw Supergirl in there, it doesn't make sense. I mean, like, all of her villains usually come off of Superman somehow.
If there's going to be a Superman movie.
Yes.
What percentage chance is that Superman going to be Cavill?
Good question, Roxy. I'm going to say, I'm terrible at this, but I'm going to guess, I'm going to be conservative and say 75% he is our Superman. 75%. I don't think his slate is, I know he's filming the next season of Witcher.
Yep.
But he's not going to be in the Mission Impossible 7 and 8. There's no other franchises. There was talk, I will say this, of him in talks for the next Bond. Because as you know, Daniel Craig, this is officially his last Bond coming out, No Time to Die, whenever it comes out.
Do you like James Bond?
No, I don't. It's terrible. Daniel Craig is done. They will be on the hunt for a new James Bond, and Cavill absolutely fits the bill for that. So if he gets that and he goes forward before DC does a Superman movie, I think he's done. He won't be doing both at the same time.
Let's look at what the chat's saying right now, by the way, guys. We are live on Popcorn Talks YouTube every single Friday, 1 p.m. Pacific time. A lot of thoughts on this. Ivan says, exactly, I agree with Mike. We need Superman first, then Supergirl.
Yeah.
Xeno Hour says, I think Supergirl should be introduced in a Superman movie.
I like that too.
Thunder God Cairo says it's 40% chance that it's Cavill. Sky Patterson says a new Superman film with Henry Cavill, 60% shot.
Okay.
We seem to be getting in that 40 to 60% range,
70%
range. We're seeing some up with you, but mostly.
The watchers, you guys are going off of my previous predictions with, like, you know, Birds of Prey saying a billion. So you're probably on the smart money betting against me, guys. I would not bet with me either with my track record.
I mean, it's just
tough
to say. What
do you think, Rox? What's your shot?
I think that I've been saying for a long time that I didn't think we were going to see Henry Cavill again as Superman, but I don't think that anything we've said prior to pandemic holds up anymore. Because
you're right, it is a whole new world.
It's a whole new world. And so,
a whole new world.
Don't you dare close your eyes. I think that legitimately people change their lives during this time. So he might have a new perspective on it. Warner Brothers might have a new perspective. Our slates have certainly changed and dates have changed and other projects he's working on have changed. So I don't think it's possible for us to really be like, yes, anything that was previously happening is for sure happening and vice versa.
I think, Rox, remember how I said this kind of came out of left field? I think someone during this, because I'm seeing a lot of talk and you are, I'm sure, aware of it, a lot of deals and pitches and things being sold right now. Like, mm-hmm. it seems like, you know, just the other day, Russo Brothers, I mean, Extraction came out, which is great. Mm-hmm. And there was talk, like, a couple of days after, like, oh, we don't know about a sequel. We don't know. We might this and that. Then, like, a week after the movie aired on Netflix, yep, Russo Brothers said sequels a go. Like, it happened within a week.
Yeah, because you can't do anything but talk right now.
Right. So these deals. So I think someone pitched a Superman movie that WB was like, guys, that's it. During quarantine. I think someone was working on a pitch. And they might have been working on it before, but now maybe the focus is WB's like, okay, Mike,
just
let's
to be
slow
clear,
down.
When you say someone, yeah. do you mean a writer, a director, a producer, a star, Cavill? Like, what kind of person are you talking
about? That I don't
about?
Know, because that I don't know. I mean, I think it's someone that is attached to, maybe WB said, hey, take a crack at this script. Take a crack at Superman. No rush. And I think WB is, like you'd said, taking a second now to like slow down because nothing is in production. So they're not worrying about the Batman being filmed. They're not worrying about Suicide Squad because those things are not filming. So they don't have to worry about what's happening across the pond in England with Batman. They go, okay, let's look at our slate. What do we do? I think this is, like you said, it forced everything to slow down. And I think like someone said, hey, I've got a take on Superman. And WB now had times like, well, let's take a look at it. We got the time. Let's look at it and go, oh, this is really good.
All right.
I think that's what happened.
Well, we'll have to see. Let us know if you're watching this live or after the fact. What do you think? Do you think we're going to see a Supergirl movie? If we're not, how do you want Supergirl to be introduced? If you do want that, is Henry Cavill going to be Superman? So many questions. Let us know in the chat. Also, don't forget to give us a thumbs up while you're here. Leave a comment, 5 stars, wherever you are. We really appreciate it. You pointing at it?
I did this. I did like bing, 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 bing. You know, I just realized it's funny, Rox. I've been watching a lot of YouTube stuff lately.
Look at you, you YouTuber.
I got the time to do it. And everyone in the middle of the video is like, hey guys, like and subscribe to my subscribe channel, this and that. And I get why they have to do it. And I realized it's so easy to hit that like button, but we don't. And even all these videos I'm watching, I never hit the like button. Like they're on video games and movie making. I'm just like,
really,
what is the disconnect?
It really matters.
I know.
It really matters.
What is the disconnect from I am a person that has a YouTube show, but I was watching dozens of YouTube channels and I'm not hitting the like button.
Until you have it.
It's not a,
I don't know.
But it wasn't even in my head to do it. It's like, I move the mouse up and I click it. I'm doing it myself, not doing it. So I'm like, there is a disconnect doesn't happen between a viewer and what you're watching. It just doesn't. If you've got 30,000 views for your video and you don't have 30,000 likes or dislikes,
prove them wrong. We got 100 people
our guys
in here.
Are great. I'm not saying our guys.
Up.
I'm not talking our guys.
I know.
I'm just saying in general.
I'm letting them know. You know, prove.
I'm surprised
wrong.
Some social media guru hasn't figured out the method to make your audience do it. I don't know. It's weird.
All right, well, let's talk a little bit of Watchmen. I know we mentioned it earlier, but this is a Watchmen you have seen, the movie.
Yeah, Watchmen. Ad nauseum.
Watchmen, the movie.
And I love it.
Everything's of the movie now. Really? I didn't know that you loved it.
Of the Watchmen movie? Oh,
it's
I do.
It's a joke. It's a joke. We host a show called DC Movie News together. I know exactly what you love and what you don't. Malin Ackerman, guys.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, this is a great article.
Oh. I just said her name and you said, oh, that's right.
Because I remembered it. I was like, oh,
She was talking about why she struggled making Zack Snyder's movie. I feel like we're getting more and more stories like this during this time because we can't talk about filming anything right now. So we're talking about the things that we did film. So yeah. Let's hear what she had to say. She said,
is she here in the studio?
Yep. I could do my best Malin Ackerman. How does she sound?
Malin Ackerman?
You know, what does she sound like? She kind of sounds like... she's a little higher than me.
It's funny because when I think of Watchmen, I think of her as a different character than the Ben Stiller movie where she was like the awful girlfriend, fiance.
I think of her in Billions. I think is what she's in now.
Billions. That movie where she's Ben Stiller's fiance or wife, but she's just awful. She's so good in that movie. She's such a great comedic actress.
She said she had this feeling of being an imposter. Let's read the quote.
Oh, please do.
I don't know if there was a particular project. I think it was just a matter of time. But I will say that Watchmen was a big shift because I felt way out of my league in that one. By the way, she was talking to Collider Ladies Night. Shout out to Collider's Ladies Night.
It's Ladies Night and I'm feeling right. Oh, yes, it's Ladies Night.
Okay,
oh,
so
yes,
the,
what a night.
The rest of the quote is, I really struggled because it was such a big film and I really felt like I had no idea what I was doing. I had no training and I was working with these fabulous theater actors who had all the training in the world. I definitely didn't feel worthy of being there. I felt like I had tricked them into casting me. She then said, you know, there was a lot of stuff that I was going through. So it was definitely a shift. And I just said, all right, I can't just follow now anymore. I have to start making decisions of what it is that I want to learn, what direction I want to go in, what do I like to do creatively, and what do I find fun? I want to put my best foot forward. I don't want to feel like I'm in the position where I feel like I'm the weakest link in the production, you know? So yeah, that probably was a little bit of a turning point. I like that she admitted this. I thought that's kind of letting yourself open it up there.
And
I think she got a lot of heat after this movie. At least that's
really? I don't remember that.
You don't?
No, I'm not, Roxy. I'm not being facetious here. I don't remember this.
Ma and Ackerman got ripped to shreds after this movie.
Really? What were they saying? Like about what? Like
horrible performance.
Really?
Yeah. You know, I don't. Upon rewatch, as I rewatched the movie this year, I was like, I don't think that was fair. I don't think it was fair that she was ripped, but she did seem like she was in a slightly different movie. I don't know. Ryan, do you remember the heat that she got after this?
See, I remember when this movie came out because it was right when Blockbuster was closing. And I remember that being like the last thing I bought from Blockbuster. I remember she got kind of trashed for her performance, but I actually thought like it was both mutually shared with Zack Snyder's direction of her. I actually don't think she's really bad in this movie at all. I think she's solid. She's just not given a lot of time. Yeah, she's not given the time.
Yeah, and it was the character, and it was a tough role. And I think that you could see she was a little insecure in it, but who wouldn't be?
Oh, that's interesting. I'm
surprised you don't remember that, Mikey.
Maybe I don't, because I remember how much I love the movie.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess when we rewatch it on a rewatch here, I'll take a look at it. I never, like, it felt maybe a little Gal Gadot in Batman versus Superman to me. But I don't, and maybe I look at this as from a different point of view, being an actor and understanding like your first time on a major set, like, I don't know. I mean, maybe she's a little stilted. I think so.
She's really great. I don't think this.
But I do like what she's
saying.
Shine
the way she did.
Yeah. Can you imagine being on set? You got Patrick Wilson, who's a brilliant theater actor before, you know, his jump into movies. You've got Matthew Good. You've got Billy Crudup, who's phenomenal. You know, you got all these, and I could see where she's like, oh, geez, I'm really got to step my game up here. You know, because up until that point, she was all doing these rom coms. You know, and here you are, the lead of a superhero massive film. Not only that, you've also got the legions of fans that you know are going to rip everything apart. It's not like the Ben Stiller rom-com. There's fans of rom-coms that are like, she better knock this out of the park or I'm going to be pissed off.
Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm.
So I can't imagine the pressure of that. I don't know. I love her performance. I love that film. I really do.
Sticking with Watchmen for a second, but moving from the film to the TV show, the Peabody Awards nominations were just announced, and some of our favorites have been nominated, including, yes, that's right, HBO's Watchmen. Nice. And Damon Lindelof took to Instagram to express his gratitude. Here's what he had to say.
All right.
On behalf of the hundreds of artists who devoted themselves to Watchmen, we are profoundly grateful to be nominated by the esteemed Peabody Awards. In the midst of a global pandemic, it feels strange and inappropriate to celebrate anything, yet Peabody shines a light on so many incredible pieces of work, from news to docs to podcasts to children's programming. For those still sheltering, I highly recommend you check out the list of nominees, as it's chock full of vitamins for your mind and soul. We are truly honored to be among such distinguished company, particularly the astonishing when they see us. Oh, the best. The unforgettable, unbelievable, and the radioactively brilliant Chernobyl. These limited series form a holy trinity of dramatized nonfiction that forces us to look unflinchingly at the most brutal and frightening parts of our society. And even in the midst of terror and despair, even in the darkest of nights, I like that, if we look hard enough, we find a glimmer of humanity and grace. I'll keep looking if you will. And I just think that it's such a beautiful thing that he wrote. So I was glad that he said that. I also think that Watchmen got a series of snubs, as did When They See Us. Everything was kind of trounced by Chernobyl. So I'm really happy to see these nominations. Go Peabody. Stoked on this. Ryan, I know that you're a massive Watchmen, the TV show, fan. Yes. How do you feel about this?
Right. Ryan's a fan of this show? Oh, no, dude. I didn't know that.
Come on now, Ryan.
I'm being, it's called sarcastic. Man, Ryan, that's sarcasm.
Did the after show. I love this show to pieces. It made me read the comic book, graphic novel, go watch the movie a bunch of times.
Really? So you didn't know the novel before the TV show, huh? You hadn't read the novel?
I read it in high school, and I did not appreciate it enough. Like, I just wasn't...
Oh, I can agree with you on that one.
It's not that you didn't appreciate it. Yeah, the fact that they made a TV show that even comes close to the graphic novel is incredible, and some people like it more. Some people actually like it more, and I think that...
Sorry, Ryan, go ahead.
They're massive fans of it, and it's such a huge accomplishment that I think was done with such love and care that it absolutely deserves this Peabody nomination.
Not that he's probably seen it or cares, but I would love to know what Alan Moore thought of the TV show. I mean, as you guys know, he is a vocal.
I feel like adamant about he hates it. Even though he hates it exists, I feel like he would have loved it because it was so true to what he was trying to do.
You know what I want to believe, Roxy? I want to believe that he has seen it and loves it, but he's over the years has created this aura about he hates anything that's ever taken his property, and he hates fandom, and he hates everything. Like, he just seems like a miserable person, like, which I don't get, because he's created so much love and material, and the fans love this guy. I love all he's written. I think he's phenomenal, but I kind of want to believe he sits at home and he's watching and goes, oh, wow.
It's good. Pretty, I can't help it. It's just good. Really good.
It's pretty fucking good. I'll never tell him that, but it's pretty fucking good.
Again, we have to move forward. I know we want to get to our Superman talk, but before we do that, one really quick story. Val Kilmer shared a bizarre theory about Batman's popularity, an actual quote of him. Quote, there is no Batman. I'll give it a little bit of context, though, standalone, WTF does that mean? Mikey's already rubbing his head.
I'm just picturing that picture of him that's in all the articles right now, where he's like the resurgence of Val Kilmer. He's got like the kimonos on with the neck wrap and his hair. I'm just like, what happened?
So he spoke to New York Times, and he was recounting a story from the set of Batman Forever. And he said... He's talking about Batman being invisible, and that's the idea that he came up with, that he's not meant to be seen as a real person. So he said, quote, that's why it's so easy to have 5 or 6 Batmans. It's not about Batman. There is no Batman. So the interviewer went on to explain how Kilmer breaks it down further, saying that his time playing Batman was torture for the actor. As for him, Batman was essentially a mannequin meant for fans to project onto instead of an actual dynamic character for him to dig into as an actor. Thoughts on that, Mikey?
A phenomenal actor named Christian Bale would disagree. So yeah. I'm sorry. I think that is a cop-out. I think when I hear actors
there
talk like
no
that.
There is no Batman.
When I hear stuff like this, and at the end of the day, I'm not a movie star. I'm not a TV star. I'm just a working actor. It's so pretentious to me. We're actors. We show up, we lie, we create characters for people, and that's what it is. At the end of the day, it's enjoyment and entertainment. When they go on these existential, like, I couldn't delve into the character. Batman, to me, is one of the greatest fictional characters of all time. He's up there with some of the great Shakespeare characters that have created Hamlet. Like, the pathos involved
in
these characters.
This is what I want.
What do you want?
I want Kilmer. There is no Batman. Bale, I'm Batman. Kilmer, there is no Batman. Bale, I'm Batman. I want that for like 15 minutes on repeat. Just so you know.
I mean,
all right. Well, let's move off of the Batman train and on to Superman the movie.
All right.
Superman the movie, baby. By the way, just reminding you that I was right on IMDb. It's just called Superman. That's what's up.
Well, okay. Well, I'm an idiot then. What do we know?
He agrees that I was right. Go lady.
Roxy, I can't keep looking at your shirt with the Boston logo. It looks like it's a Boston gas station. That looks like a gas station.
This is
logo,
a gas
like
station.
Sitco.
It's a Sitco. So you don't know that?
Oh, it is?
So one of the big landmarks in Boston is a Sitco sign. And if you read Sitco out
Boston.
Loud.
That's your claim to fame as a
no, it's not our claim to fame, but everybody sign. From Boston knows it's a big, it's not just a sign. It's been around for decades, but it's a big light up, like a massive light up thing that goes in and out and it reads, see it go. Uh-huh. And it blinks and it's right outside Fenway. So it's a big,
is it Fenway, like
park,
owned by
Fenway
Citgo?
Park.
I know what Fenway Park is.
Oh,
is it owned by Citgo?
No, just that. It's just been there for years. You know, Boston's all about its history. Forever. Yeah. So, okay. Or the Citgo sign.
Well, there you
been.
Go. That the power of brand and power of logo. I didn't know that. And that looked like the Citgo sign to me. And there we go.
Yeah. So Citgo, like a lot of Boston shirts just will have that triangle on it.
Gotcha.
Almost.
All right. Boston strong,
but isn't
right?
It cool? That's so cool that you realized that was a Citgo sign.
Because that's like, the power of a logo. They talk about brand marketing and just having an image. There you go. I knew that image is Citgo.
It's literally a triangle.
I don't even know if there's a Citgo around here in California, but I know it.
I don't know. Okay, though, let's talk about Superman. I'm curious your thoughts, and I'm excited to share my thoughts. But before we get to either of those, because it was his first time watching it, Ryan, I want to shoot over to you. You just saw Superman the movie for the first time ever. How do you feel initially?
I thought I'd seen it. I'd seen number two. So I'd seen Christopher Reeve play Superman. I'd seen Superman 3. And I hadn't seen this one. I really think this one...
Now, Ryan,
yes.
In your defense, buddy,
yeah,
one and two are filmed together. And they have a very similar tone. So you wouldn't be wrong in thinking you saw one when you saw two. Because Zod and them are in Superman the movie. They go to the Phantom Zone, and it's the second movie they would get released.
He is wrong.
What?
He is wrong. He didn't see one. You said he wouldn't be wrong. I mean, he was.
Oh my, you know what I mean. Like,
you
I can
get
see,
why. You get
I
why.
I get why.
But
yeah,
it's still wrong.
It's an understandable misunderstanding.
It's understandable guffaw.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So
go, I'm trying to defend you, Ryan. Fine, I won't.
I think this is a 70s movie that you can tell, like, this was a very magical piece of entertainment that came out during the time. I still think there are a lot of magical moments. I think Christopher Reeve, there's something even today looking at his performance that's just really hopeful and inspiring and just kind of puts a smile on your face. But we've been inundated with over 100 comic book movies since this come out, like maybe even over 100. And there are some things that it doesn't look great. It doesn't hold up as well, but there is that magic there and that sense of care that you could tell Donner put in. And I really liked it. I didn't love it, though.
Okay.
I think that, like you're saying, it's challenging when we have advanced, especially tech-wise and performance-wise. Not saying that their performances aren't great, but the way that we perform now, the way we're taught to perform or the way that you direct is different now. It's just a completely different time period. I was kind of surprised with how much it reminded me of Star Wars. I didn't remember feeling like they had similar vibes to them, but it did. It reminded me, and Ryan, I know you're a big Star Wars person, but it reminded me of Episode 4. It did kind of in tone at some points. And when we would go into space and visually what some things looked like, I have to say that I don't remember liking this movie as much as I liked it last night when I watched it. I was so impressed by it. Everybody who watches the show knows that I have Man of Steel issues, major issues with that movie, that I think that the dog situation bothers me to no end. And I think it's just
the dog.
Always
him saving the dad. Save the dog instead.
The dad, dog. Who do you go back to save? How do you save? Oh, you don't want to save the dad goes to save the dog, then the dad dies. I think it's just such a stronger choice. It's such a stronger choice to make it so that Superman cannot save his dad. And I loved that about this movie. It's so funny because I was like, am I giving spoilers for Superman? No. Well, spoilers on Superman 1978.
Oh, I did a comment about some movie that came out 2 years ago and someone on Twitter was like, spoilers, Mike. I'm like, nope, came out 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I don't give an F.
So I just think it's such a stronger choice that, and he says it, you know, at the funeral, like with all my powers, there's nothing I could do. And that shows that everybody is vulnerable. I thought that was, I loved that. And I also, Mike, I know I've talked to you before about my qualms with Lois, but I will say she was awesome in this movie. She's awesome. I like this Lois better than our current Lois, and not the actors, because I don't think that's fair, but just the iterations.
I see what you're saying. I get what you're saying.
I was much more impressed. There was a love to this and an easiness about watching this film that I just really enjoyed. Mike, I don't even know, though, your thoughts. Superman, how do you feel?
Let's talk about this, Roxy, because here we go. I am, for one, do not worship at the altar of Richard Donner's Superman. I saw it not when it first came out. I was too young. I was too into Star Wars and Flash Gordon in the late 70s, early 80s. Superman, I think I got into with Superman 2. This film, the first half of it is great for me. The first half is great. As a Superman fan, even as a kid, and now as we get older, and so many people revere this film, yet bash every other iteration of Superman. And I look at it and I go, the fact that the man turned back Earth, created a power out of nowhere, loses me. The fact that Luther wears a wig because Gene Hackman, you know, didn't want to be bald. Like, stuff like that just doesn't work in this. It can't work in the movie for me.
I feel you. Let's go over those individually, Mikey.
Okay.
Because the first one, him turning back Earth, I feel you. I was watching that and I was like, what a bummer, because I get why we can't let her die, but it just, then why did you do it? We could have just not killed her.
I love that we're doing this because it's showing me new things. Like, I love the fact now because, okay, here we go. Breaking news, guys. You just said, hey, I learned I can't save everybody when his dad dies.
Right.
Well, now he learns he can save everybody by turning back time and spinning Earth back.
Right.
I just found this out. Why has this not hit me before? Here we are live. That's why this movie doesn't work. You made a great point, Rox, and I was like, wow, I can't argue that. Kevin Costner dies. He could have done this. They create in this film, he cannot save everybody. Well, he proves an hour later that he can save everybody he wants. Anytime someone dies, fly back around the Earth, Superman. Yeah,
I agree that
didn't
work.
Here we go. That's why this movie does not work for me.
I know that you develop your powers as you go as superheroes.
Oh, here we go.
I'm agreeing with you.
I know
you
are, Rox. I know you are. I know fans will say that.
And I know that people do develop their powers as they go. However, these were very close to each other. We're not talking about two different movies. We're not talking about, like, he's gone to superhero camp and he's been working on things.
Like, I think he's 18 when his dad dies and it's 30 when he shows up in Metropolis. So it's 12 years.
All right.
They don't establish that, but that's what it is.
That's true. Okay.
That makes
a little more sense. But still, I feel like maybe
he has that power now.
Maybe try to do that. We just didn't need to kill her. We didn't need that moment.
No.
I don't know. I just... That didn't really fully work for me. But at the same time, I'm trying to think about watching this in the 70s.
Sure, and I get that.
Somebody do that, and that would be like, oh my God.
You're right. You're 100%
right, Rox. And it would be a completely
right,
different reveal. But today, it's like, that's kind of a cop-out.
You're 100% right, Roxy. I agree. Like, and again, the first half of the film is so, all of his stuff on Smallville, and the way that they shoot it, and they kind of use this kind of like sepia tone to the film, it just works for me. There's so much... You know, Glenn Ford is his dad. It just works. There's a scene, like the scene with him and Lois on the balcony where she's interviewing him. It's brilliant. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
And I think now but this
the
is
underwear
where
that was scandalous.
Yeah, like this is like I'm kind of with Ryan on this. Like one and two kind of blur together for me. I'm trying to think. I think it's in this movie where Clark Kent comes to talk to Lois, and it just shows how good Chris Reeve is because he's standing there all kind of hunched over. And he takes off his glasses and he just kind of puts his shoulders back and you're like, he turns into Superman. And it's, I don't know if it's one or two. I think it's one. It's brilliant.
That's in one.
2 seconds with no dialogue, this man gives us Superman and Clark Kent. And I, again, love Clark Kent or Chris Reeve as Superman. I'm not talking against him. It's the movie itself. He is so earnest in this movie. And you saw recently, I don't know if I sent it to you. Did you see the interview? It was about Clark Kent or Chris Reeve talking about Marlon Brando.
Yes,
working
I
with
did.
Him.
Yeah, we talked about it on the show.
Yeah, and how brilliant. And now you see, because he was so into the character and he treated it like this great character. He didn't treat it like Val Kilmer treated Batman. And that's my point. When actors say, there's nothing there to work with, BS. A great actor will take a great character and make it work. And Chris Reeve was a great actor before he was even really, we talk about Malin Ackerman being naive. this was his first major movie. And here he was giving us one of the most iconic performances of all time. Like, so to me, it's the fault is on the actor for not bringing
something. And I thought that Margot Kidder was really awesome too.
Yeah. And Margot Kidder was great. I think her later life and what had happened, how she went off the rails kind of tinges the character for me. It's kind of like Marlon Brando. Mm. When I see what he became, I'm like, it hampers the actor that I see.
And everything Kevin with Spacey Christopher too, Reeve just makes you love him more.
Yeah.
I
love Christopher Reeve. I love it. It's the fault is in the movie. And again, that film was made in 1978. It's a different time period. If Chris Reeve was in a Superman movie now, night and day. So I can't fault it, but I don't worship the ground this movie walks on like a lot of people do, because I understand it's like they want to talk about, you know, what a character does. And it's like this character at its core, the writers didn't stay true to the character. Like he doesn't turn back time. He doesn't do that. It's just never in his Batman killing
or
not
killing.
Did you feel
like they borrowed from the Flash there?
I don't know what, I think they had a plot hole and they go, how do we fix this? Spin him back time. Let's turn the earth back. That is a writer that didn't understand the comics, never understood that Superman never did that. And it's also DC going, no, he won't do that. You know, that would never happen today in a film. So when people like bitch about Batman killing and whatnot in a Snyder's film, it's like, yeah, Batman killed in the comics. Batman wore a gun. You might not like it, but he did. Superman's never turned back time, as far as I know, flying around the earth.
Right. Ryan, I just want to check in with you for a second because I know that we're having some video issues.
Uh-oh.
Power through?
Power through, guys. We might re-upload after, but keep powering through.
All right, we're going to power through.
Perfect. Yeah, I just wanted to make sure. So I'm glad that we're on the same page. I think that it sounds like to me, Mikey.
Yeah, Kit Roo.
We both appreciate it.
Oh, absolutely.
And there are parts that we love, and then there are parts that's like, that would not fly today.
Yeah.
Because it just doesn't work.
It's interesting
work.
Because this movie came out 12 years before Batman. And a lot of people look at Superman the movie as the beginning of the superhero film, and I don't agree. I think it was Batman. Because after Superman the movie, studios were not rushing to make the next superhero movie. They weren't inundating. We got a Swamp Thing, Supergirl, you know. It was Batman. After Batman, every studio was like, what? And they raided every comic publisher's archives, buying up property after property. The 90s for comic movies was just throw spaghetti at the wall to see what stuck. So for me, when people say Superman started the major renaissance of superheroes, I disagree 100%. It was Batman 89 that did it. Batman 89 created the media onslaught where the Bat logo was everywhere. Merchandising.
It depends on what you mean by started. Because, I mean, like, you can't take away what Superman did. They both have monumental impacts.
Yeah, on fandom. But not on cinema and the superhero franchise. It just didn't. I mean, I'll disagree till I'm blue in the face. You know, Superman, the logo, the S symbol was not on every single piece of merchandise after Superman the movie came out. It just wasn't.
A few more questions for you.
Let's do it.
How do you feel about all of Luther's, about Otis, about Eve Testmacher?
Like, for me, Otis works. Like,
what movie is Otis in? He kind of cracked me up, but also like, what?
Mr. Luthor, and he's like, Otisburg? Oh, Miss Testmacher's got a place. Like, I love Ned Beatty as Otisburg, as Otis. He makes no sense. Testmacher, it's like, Luther...
Wait, can we talk about that Testmacher kiss? What is that?
With Superman?
Yeah.
What girl wouldn't do that? Superman's helpless, but Me Too movement. Me Too.
Me Too.
That's sexual harassment.
He says to her, "Why did you kiss me before?" And she said, "Because I didn't think you'd kiss me after."
Right.
He
was helpless. He was vulnerable.
That is a lack of consent.
You damn right, Roxy. Men can be abused as well.
Of course. I mean, that would not, in 2020, you could not air that. People would lose their crap.
Guys would lose their crap and go, "Oh, see, we get abused too."
I know.
Think it's great. That moment is so truthful to who she is. Of course, like the minute he walks in there, she's like, oh, she's hiding behind the chair. She's enamored by this Greek god that just walked in.
I know that we have to get out of here, but Ryan, any final thoughts on your first viewing of Superman the movie?
You guys said it really well. I think that this movie's magical. I think the reason it reminded you of Star Wars is two words: John Williams. The music is phenomenal. It has a silly ending, though. A silly ending. Mm.
Thank you for bringing that up, Ryan. Ryan, thanks for bringing that up. Roxy, one thing with, I mean, this John Williams score. And again, my faults with this movie are not faults that make it a bad movie. It's one of the greatest comic movies of all time, I think. But I just don't revere it as this sacred text.
I know what you mean.
Piece of film that everyone does.
There are flaws. Yeah. Great point, though, Ryan. Thank you, guys, for talking about Superman the movie with us. Let us know how you feel in the comments below. Would love to hear your thoughts. Next week, we will be talking about Superman 2.
Let's do it.
Which Ryan has already seen.
Ryan saw it. He saw it first.
What is it? Is it called Superman the Movie 2?
No, that's just Superman 2. Don't. It's Superman the Movie. That's what it's called.
All right, Mikey. Where can everybody keep up with you? The artist formerly known as Mike Kalinowski.
The artist formerly known as at Mike Kalinowski is now at Mike Kalinowski _. Roxy, I'm working to the point where I'm just going to be known as _.
Ooh.
That's who I'm going to be _.
Ooh,
it's just going to be
coming.
A dash.
It's _.
Like your Sidgo, it's just going to be dash, and everyone's going to know it's me. Watch. Mark my words.
So baller.
Ryan, fully known as _.
Everyone can find our amazing producer, Ryan, at Ry Nilsson. And you guys can find me everywhere at Roxy Stryer. I will be live in 30 minutes at 2:30 Pacific time on my own YouTube channel, youtube.com/RoxyStryer.
What you got today?
I'm going to solo today. I like to do a Friday solo stream.
Okay.
So I'll be talking about Schmodown stuff. Also, I'm going to do a little show and tell. Going through some stuff in my apartment and talking about stories of where
I thought it was
like
a burlesque episode.
Oh no!
Show and tell, a little peekaboo. I see you, huh, Rox?
We'll see you guys next week for DC movie news.
Bye, guys.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.